We all as humans have the habit of taking something that God gives us and redefining it to fit us. And then we're lost. And we've done that with just about everything. We've done it with love. We've done it with peace. We've done it with obedience. I can go down the list of how we've taken it and molded it to fit us. That's why one person's version of these words is different than the other person's, because we have redefined it. We have changed the mode or the standard of measure, and that has hurt us in more ways than not. The thing we're going to talk about today is our struggle or our battle. Now, as I say that, I'm stressing the fact that all of us are in a battle, okay? And we have to recognize that so we can deal with it the right way. Unfortunately, like I said in the beginning, majority of us, when we heard the word battle or struggle, immediately will think of something that we struggle with based on us. Some person we don't like, a job we don't like, it could be a health problem, something we are seeing, something politically, something that bothers me, that hurts my feelings, and we missed it. What God is letting us know is not only what the struggle is, but how to do it. The name of this order, my step, is fighting the right battle the right way. I have to first recognize the battle and then deal with it the right way. As we notice, it says at top, every Christian must recognize what the real daily battle is. It says in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So he starts off letting us know what it's not. So for those of you who think that person, maybe be at work, could be in your family, and you can't stand that person is just an instrument. He's saying it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against the physical in any way. It's not a politician, all right? It's not your family. It's not even you per se. It's something else that drives the flesh and blood. He says, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I know many have written books on all these extra ones and trying to break them down and explain them. In reality, the Bible doesn't really explain these. And the reason why it doesn't is God's just letting us know what we're up against. It's spiritual war forces that come in different ways. But the reason why I don't know specifics or need to know specifics about them is that's for God to deal with. What he's letting me know is that's what you're dealing with. And he's saying, as long as you follow me, that's going to be taken care of. I need you to deal with every situation my way, because the real battle is something you can't see coming at you in different ways, is what he's showing us here. You get this. Okay? So I'm going to give some examples here. In this chart, we're going to show the struggle, and there's, of course, a million more of these. But what we're going to see is how we usually deal with it by sight, and then what God says by faith. Let's look at conflicts. So that one, I think we all would consider a struggle. Anytime it's a conflict, it's something that goes against what I want. And so how we usually deal with it as humans is I make sure I get my point across. I make sure they don't walk all over me. I win by any means necessary. If you notice, the focal point here is me. I make sure. Don't walk all over me. They're not going to talk to me this way. And we handle it and we feel fulfilled at the end. That's right. They know they can't just talk to me that way. And we deal with it that way. But when we go to the Bible, you're going to see in Romans 12, 17 through 21, and James 5, 9, in a nutshell, they say, my main goal is to love. I know some are like, oh, come on, Pastor. Do you understand this? Now, it's not love in a worldly way where you just allow things. It's a godly love to allow God to deal with it correctly. It says, so I will not argue or complain, and I will be at peace with everyone. Now, of course, there's other verses in here that really support this, but this is hard for us to swallow because of the me factor. Did you hear what they said to me? Did you see what they did to me? Not realizing it's so much deeper than this, so I just trust God. That's just one example. Let's look at another one. Wealth. Now, in big cases, other than those who don't have it, we won't see this as a conflict. We actually see this as a comfort. Fleshly way we deal with it is I get as much as possible. I like how it makes me feel. I love the access it gives me. If I want it, I get it. Now, the danger in this, not only for those who don't have it, but for those who do have it, it becomes God, if you like it or not. You may not say it, but your actions show it. We pay more homage to our wealth than we do to God. We make sure that we feel comfortable when we have it than we do having God. It's a dangerous thing. But once again, the spiritual way of dealing with this, we see as examples, 1 Corinthians 6:12, 1 Timothy 6:10, 1 Timothy 6:17 through 18, and James 5, 1 to 6. Now, as I give you these, I'm hoping you're going to go back and you're going to check these and read the context to make sure it fits the summary that I give. And it shows that I will recognize where true wealth is from and will not allow my desires to dictate my life. I recognize the danger of being in love with money and I stay alert. See, the danger in this, if I don't get it, it will rule me. Y'all get this? It will deal with me in the wrong way. And if I allow it to, it will rule over me. Right? Either I'll run to get it and feel unsafe when I don't have it, or when I have it, I'll live for it and worship it without realizing I'm worshiping it. Another struggle, family. Once again, the define of that is if I see. There's a lot of times people, I watch parents, especially today, raise their kids based on their well-being in the world. It's dangerous. It disturbs me. And it should disturb you when you get it because we're actually putting them in danger. And this is why so many kids don't want nothing to do with God, because we just gave them this self-awareness. This is why today kids are picking their sexuality. They're picking their path. They're saying when they want to do it, how they want to do it. They're kind of just doing stuff the way they feel. It's all about me. That's why we have in the flesh part, my family defines me. I live and die for my family. We do things through trial and error, keep doing what seems to work best. We do things to keep the love in the relationship. There's a lot of problems with that because we mess up love. We don't understand what that is. We go off of sight. We build off their emotions and feelings, and we think we're molding this beautiful whatever. And later on in life, you'll look and go, what just happened? You don't know how many times I've seen people that went through the perfect path, perfect family, raised, had a family, something. And then later on in life, you found out, wait, what happened? They have some sort of breakdown or some sort of a hidden part of life. What just happened here? Because it was wrong. The spiritual lets me realize that I make sure I love my family through God only and love them the way he tells me no matter what. Some verses, once again, Matthew 10, 37, Ephesians 5, 22. 6:4. Now understand, the scripture I give, there's a whole lot of other scriptures that support this. I'm going to give them some basic ones, but you can do a study, all of these are sermons themselves, not realizing these are struggles. How am I dealing with them? What am I dealing with them? Let's use the last one, kind of covers everything, life. So just life in general. There's a sermon I'm working on called Life. Okay. And God willing, we'll be blessed with it, because what the Bible really shows us about life may be surprising to you. But before we get to that, of course, I want us to understand how we deal with life and life itself. We'll realize life itself is a struggle. You understand this? And we got to deal with it the right way. But the life in the spiritual way. See, the way we deal with it fleshly is I watch the world around me, and the things that seem to work, I do. The people that seem successful, I imitate, and the things that make me happy, I pursue. I grew up in the realm where people that look like it worked, and I keep using the word look like, you know, I mean, and I was always a people watcher. We would almost hold up high. Why? Because it seemed like it worked. Then you had people that things didn't always seem like they worked. We usually put them down. If you go through Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, it puts a lot of emphasis on the rich, how we treat them versus the poor. I've seen people who become rich. Next thing I know, they get a thing to stand on. They get to speak. We listen to them as if they have a say. Why? Because they have more. While there are some brilliant people, but they don't have much, I don't care what you have to say. Y'all see the problem with this? We mistake success for right way. It's a dangerous path because that's what people are pursuing. We're not pursuing godliness. We're looking at outcome. You know how many times I've heard people say, I know the Bible says this, but I'm doing this and it makes me happy. And they almost say it with a, so God will understand. I know my kids growing up, I used to hear that statement where they would make that comment of, I know you said not to, but it makes me happy. And I'm supposed to go, okay, well, if it makes you happy, let's break this rule. And I would go, the reason why I give the rule in the first place is to protect you. And it took some bumps and everything for them to learn the hard way. And that's what God's trying to show us. Some of the verses that show us in the spiritual way of dealing with life are Romans 12, verse 2, and Philippians 3, verse 8. Romans 12, verse 2 shows us that I stop being influenced by the world and start being changed by God. You'd be surprised on what God says, what God tells us to do. You'd be very surprised in that understanding of God. And if you just follow what he said, here's the thing about it. You'll do it, and sometimes the turnout will not be desirable. You understand that, okay? But one day, and sometimes you learn it earlier than not, but one day you'll hit you and go, man, I'm so glad that didn't turn out that way. I see a lot of things in my life that way that you could not tell me. Even if somebody informed me, Keith, if you got this, it's going to make you, I would go, okay, well, tell me and I won't do it. No, I understand what God is doing. In some cases. Other cases, I still struggle because there's still flesh. We see in Philippians 3, 8 through 11, it makes clear that I devalue everything here and now in order to gain what's most valuable, which is Christ. That's life. When a person realizes that he is life, he says, I've come to give life and give it to the fullness or more abundantly, then I realize that's really life. If not, I'm allowing and I become part of the struggle. Hopefully these few examples gave you an example of, man, I'm in a battle. I didn't even know it. And those who thought they knew it, how am I dealing with it? Especially on the family thing. You don't know how many times I think people can write their own book on how they raise their family. And especially when they first have kids. It's usually you wait. I did the same thing. It's not until my kids got to a certain age that I sat there and said, I messed up. Right? We become experts because we have the kids. And we tell God, don't worry, God, I'll reach out to you if I need your help, but I got this. And then we raise them and we show our view and we do this and that. Maybe we'll throw some scripture in there, but for the most part, we do it our way. And then they become adults and we look at them and go, I messed up. Struggle is something that we have to deal with his way, and he gives it to us for our protection. Our God is so gracious that he provides us with what we need to deal with these battles the right way. So we have to understand. Once we recognize the fight, in order to fight spiritually, we must use the correct weapons and fight the correct way. So first of all, when a person now stops, and I'm hoping you did this when you're reading this and say, let me look at every aspect of my life. That includes my job, my marriage, my health, my politics, anything that your life involves, and you'll say all of that, struggle, right? How I deal with my job will no longer be based off what the world says. It'll be based on God. How I deal with my marriage will no longer be based off of how I feel and how my wife feels. It'll be based on God. How I raise my children will not be how I see it and how my children want it. It'll be based on God. You see, when I say based on God, I'm going to get complete instruction and just follow that pertaining to those things. And that's what's going to be important to me, not necessarily the outcome. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 10. 3-6. And when we read this, then we're going to break it down to get an understanding of how these weapons work. First of all, it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, it says, for though we live in the world, y'all catch that? So we're going to see the world. We're here in. Remember, we're never to be of. We're always in, not of. We don't act like. We're displaying a light. It says, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, just stopping there, what's devastating today is you'll look around and you don't see a difference. I remember when this whole pandemic hit, this was an opportunity for us as Christians to shine a light. And all we complained about was we should be in church. And we did. People went, the whole bunch of churches opened, a whole bunch of people got sick. I don't know how that shined God, because we did something wasn't based on what the word said. It was based on our ideology of God. So we were doing what the world does. Form your own view of something. And that's devastating because it caused a stumbling block. People watch Christians and say, oh, those Christians. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? Please understand, we don't do it the way the world does. Immediately, we should have prayed and then gone to his word, say, okay, let me see what he says to do. It would have been clear. He makes clear that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. So it's not just the battle, the weapons. Did you get this? Think of it as a sport. I don't play football with a baseball bat. It's not going to work. I'd be disqualified. All right? I have to make sure I use the right tools for the right battle. He says the weapons we fight with are not of the world because it's not flesh and blood we're fighting against. On the contrary, they have divine powers. And if we use them, look what it says, to demolish strongholds. We deal with addictions and things that are overwhelming, and I think we all have them. And he didn't just say these things will help us with these. He says they demolish them. If we were to consistently use these things, you'd find out how much of a blessing to you they are. The key to this, because I know some people say, well, I'm trying and it's not going away, is spirituality. I must be spiritual. These are ineffective if I try to be spiritual and physical, if I try to be physical adding spiritual. If physical plays a major factor in my life and my decision making, these will not work. But when I'm completely spiritual, and that means 100% living for God, these will be fully effective. Let's look at the three weapons. First of all, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's weapon number one. Weapon number two, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's weapon number two. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. That's weapon number three. Let's break these down. First weapon, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay? That is my weapon for the spiritual that attacks me from the outside in. Okay? Anything of the world, we demolish anything and every partition or pretension, anything that separates me from my relationship and knowing God. Now, think about that for a minute. Anything that either goes against God or keeps me from getting to know God, I demolish. That means the weapon is I get rid of it. See, where Eve messed up is she listened to it. She considered it. Does that make sense? I remember one thing, I was looking around and I love science, but I remember somebody brought up the dinosaurs and the age of the earth. And there's a whole bunch of things that science can show that a Christian would become disturbed by. Well, is the Bible really right? You have some Christian organizations that are now restructuring the Bible because of science and because of what things are saying. There are certain things that they're struggling with. But a Christian would go, no, I know what the Bible said. And I'm not trying to force it on the world. I know what the Bible said. And I'm talking about what the Bible says, not what I added to it. You understand that? I know what the Bible says. That settles it. It's gone. It's not even a problem. When kids go to school and they learn science or they learn history, they need to come home and the parents need to now clean it up with spirituality. That's our job. Not, oh, everything the school says is right. No. We have to restructure it in God. And then not getting the word. So first of all, anything that comes to me from the word or that's not from the word or blocks or goes against the word, done. Nope, not listening to it, not a problem. And anything that stops me from getting the word. I told you we went through this entire pandemic, and we're blessed during these days because we have electronics and people have access through our phones, through our computer, whatever it is. And so what we did here at FSG is we placed audio up on the website. Everybody has access. I can assure you, everybody didn't access it. And there's a reason. Whatever your reason was, that's another pretension. Why? Because it stopped you from receiving God. Your reasons, when somebody says, hey, have you been in the Word? Yeah, I know, I need to get back to it. Whatever that reason you didn't, that's a pretension. These are outside things that you allowed to stop you from getting the Word. Maybe your job, your television show, maybe the pandemic, whatever it was, you should have demolished it. Oh, no, I'm going to be in it every single day. I'm going to make sure I get an understanding of it. The knowledge of God, that's that relationship. That's gaining it and maintaining it. So basically, as I have in the bullets, anything that keeps me from receiving God's word, anything that keeps me from understanding God's word. So in other words, if somebody tells me not to listen to it, doesn't make sense. Anything that distorts God's word. If God says this and something else says this, the something else is eliminated. Do y'all get this? If I clearly see the Bible says how marriage is supposed to be, and anybody comes along and go, well, if the Bible tells me how leadership in the church should be, and somebody else goes, well, you see, this is why, please don't just be grabbing all scriptures. Understand what scripture they're giving. Make sure it comes from God, right? Anything that keeps me from applying God's word, right? If anything in my life makes me go, well, I can't do it because what do people think? Or I feel, once again, gone. It's eliminated. Whatever distorts my relationship with my brothers and sisters. If I see something hindering me and my church family, it has to go. I must demolish it. I still see people today who have these hindrances, these feelings, these emotions that separate them from people, and they allow it, even though you're empowered to demolish it. And beware of distractions. That's a very important one, because the world and everything around us, which is a struggle, is a distraction. That's why I got to walk by faith. Okay, that's the first weapon. It helps to fight against the outside in. But watch this. Second weapon, we take captive every thought. Everybody say every. Once again, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is our spiritual battle from inside out. Usually when we talk about inside out, we're hopefully talking about the Holy Spirit, but in this case, no, we're talking about the emotion, the flesh, the feeling, if you will. A lot of us struggle with God because of the feelings we have. We read the Bible, and I don't agree with that, God, and I struggle with that, God, and God, that hurts, and if I do this, I'll lose my friend, and they won't love me, and God, I. We make it about us, but he says something in his weapon that I do. First, he doesn't say, I'm fine, and forget about it. That's what a lot of Christians do. You don't know how many times I've seen Christians as a counselor. I watched them go through something and go, I'm okay. They already blew it. They did not do what God said because they said, I'm okay. Now, the answer should have been, I'm dealing with it, right? Because I'm taking it captive. He said, every thought. Whatever that feeling is, it could be a good feeling or a bad feeling. I make sure I take it and I analyze it. But then I force it. It doesn't force me. Do y'all get this? There may be people you have feelings for or against. You may be attracted to somebody. You may be repulsed by somebody. That's a feeling. You take it and you go. All right, the person I'm attracted to, they're not my spouse. I don't care how my feelings fit. I better be careful with it. This, why? Because I'm making it obedient to Christ. Person I'm repulsed by. We're part of the body. We are supposed to have equal concern. I need to love them. Man, I'm going to go out of my way to love them despite how I feel. My feelings don't have a say. It's all about God. But I have to acknowledge they exist in order to go against them. Or I'll justify it. I will justify it. I've seen marriages tore up because people justify their feelings. Oh, we're just friends. We're just going to hang out. Then a hangout becomes, that's my buddy. Then you start telling your spouse, you can't accept my friends, you can't accept me. We'll say dumb stuff, not realizing you didn't take that captive to become one. What are you doing? Are you recognizing what you're doing? Are you paying attention? Just even in main dating, we'll justify our dating and sexual relationship and everything that we do instead of taking it captive and going, what does Christ say about this? Hey, we got to get married if we're going to do this, or this can't be. So breaking that down, we study God's word and pray continually to know and understand God's way. So I have to know it to make it obedient. Obedience comes from what he gives me. So I got to know what he tells me, understand what he tells me in order to apply it. So when I get a thought, I don't go, is that the Holy Spirit telling me? I go, wait a minute. By the Bible says, check every spirit and go, is this in line with God's word? Then Keith, that thought can't have a say in your life. It is in line with God's word. Just make sure the purpose is God. You see how this works? Secondly, we acknowledge the thought or feeling and give them to God. God, I struggle with this lust. God, I struggle with this anger. God, I struggle with this envy. Make it clear. And don't just do that, God, please change the feeling, because one thing he's showing us here is he's not going to change the feeling because that's part of the flesh. He's telling me to be in control of it. Doesn't mean it's going away. It just means it doesn't have the same effect. It's funny. I still have a lot of the same angers, a lot of the same feelings I did before I was a Christian. They just don't have the say that they did before I was a Christian. Problem is, if I didn't get this, they would, even as a Christian, because I still allow my flesh to have a say. This is why you still see Christians do bad stuff, because we become Christians, it feels good, but so does some of these thoughts. And we place ourselves and others in danger. We also make sure God is in control of me and I'm in control of my body. That process has to work. I go to God's word daily to get his guidance and instruction, to make sure I'm truly following him. And then in me following him, I make sure I control my flesh, not the other way around. Why did he give us flesh and why did he give us desire? For the simple purpose of us to have that enjoyment, but to control it based on him. That's what it should have been. But we allow that feeling to start taking over. When I saw that the tree was good for eating and gaining wisdom, I took some and I ate, while the spirit said, do not. Getting this? I make sure I react because of God, not to how I feel. I am being very clear with you, and I'm sure all of you feel the same way. There are certain scriptures in here I struggle with. Once again, my struggles are not against. You get what I'm saying? But how I deal with them is I make them obedient to Christ. I may not see it, but I truly trust him. And that's something I had to choose to do, not feel to do. All right? That's why marriages get messed up, because people think they fell out of love. I'm not in love with him anymore. I'm not in love with her anymore. We do this love story and this nonsense. I met this person and I make me feel and I feel and now I feel. And we see all this nonsense. And I'm sorry. It wasn't made to be based on. It's nice when it feels that way, but the fickleness and the inconsistency of our feelings should show us I don't want to depend on that. I don't want me falling in love and falling out of love. I want to control my love. So the minute a husband or wife starts falling, take it captive. Hey, God, the Bible says, so I need to get engaged and be closer to my wife or my husband. Be alert to what affects me. Right? A big part of our feelings is what I call pet peeves and button desires. Button desires, when something clicks and it makes me want it. Both exist in everybody. There's certain things that you're weaker around. Either it makes you angry or it makes you want it. I have to recognize that. Instead of me going, that doesn't bother me, you go, man, that really bothers me. I know certain things in my life that either bother me or entice me. And I have to recognize. And then recognize to go, Keith, you know what this does to you. Put your shield up. And then just like the first weapon, beware of distraction. The world provides distractions. Now, taking those two main weapons deals with the outside in and the inside out. Then this is a lifestyle. So it's a process I continue to go through. But at times, me being a flawed human, I slip. So the third weapon is to keep me in line. It's that preventive maintenance. It's that continual check. Because what happens is we can do this, become routine, and allow something to come in. So that's where the last one where it says, be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So once I become a Christian and I've established my relationship with Christ, I check me daily. I recognize disobedience every day, how I deal with everyone in every way. Was that in line with God? Every message I get from everybody, I check it with, is that in line with God? How I'm going to deal with something in the future, is this in line with God? I do not accept and excuse disobedience. I still hear Christians, and this is a very big danger with a lot of people, where you start going, well, you have to understand. The reason why the church started letting up on certain things like marriage and worship and things of that sort, and what we may call the meaningless things in the Bible, it's because man started looking at it and going, even though it seemed God said it was wrong, it really can't be. I can't see this being wrong, right? And through conviction, not condemnation, we discipline and obey. Let me say that again. Through conviction, not condemnation, we discipline, not obey. The discipline part is that I got to get out of this. I may have to end friendships, get other jobs, readjust relationships, get rid of certain things in my life. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if your right eye offends thee, pluck it out. I mean, I will go to whatever extreme when I see something that has extremeness in my life and I have to make some extreme decisions. These three weapons are powerful when I use them the way he gives us. He provides the insight on the battle. He provides the way to battle it. And he provides the weapons to use. Let us stop, clear everything, refocus, and fight the right battle. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we thank you for your protection. Help us to become wise and stay in that protection, to apply that protection, and not apply these counterfeit protections, which are not protecting us at all. We love you so much, dear Lord, and we just want to make sure we're following you and doing what we need to. We ask for forgiveness on the things that we have allowed in our lives to distort us. Help us, dear God, to walk in a way that we stay within that shield you've provided in us so we can be used by you unhindered and undefiled. We want to make sure that we are ministering to others with our lives, that when others see us, they see you. Give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen.